Well, folks, welcome to the next section. I am really excited. This is a neat little program that we've got, and it's the blog. There's a with me here today is the RFR blog director, Christina Calloway. Christina, welcome. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing good. I'm really excited to be here with you. So tell us a little about who you are and kind of how you found recovering from religion.
So I was raised evangelical Christian, random non-denominational church in the South. My dad was the minister of music. My mom was the pianist. I was the oldest daughter on stage every Sunday. And then like it's interesting because with what I do for the blog now, I see a lot of everyone's deconversion stories, and it's interesting how much similarities there are between all of them. So for me, it was just, you know, as I was, you know, coming of age, there was just this moment where stuff stopped making sense. And, you know, the person I wanted to be that I thought, you know, there was a template in the Bible that I could follow for being the kind of, you know, good benefit to the world type of person. And it's like some people were able to do that, but other people were able to look at the Bible and use it to justify doing evil or harming other people. Right. And so, yeah, just this whole entire, and then years, it took me years to like work through all of it. And I thought I had worked through all of it, and I would like try to find help along the way, but all I would find was like Christians trying to get me to come back.
Right.
And then, so that was in my 20s that first happened. And I literally did not find RFR until I was 38. I was just, it's all like research, random things on the internet rabbit holes. And somewhere at the end of an internet rabbit hole, I was listening to an episode of The Thinking Atheist, and you guys were advertised on there. And it was like, this exists? Sign me up. So I go to the website, and there is there's a list of things, and it's like helpline agent. And like, I wasn't, you know, but then there were two creative things on the list. One of them was the social media manager, and the other one was blog writer and editor. And it was like so what I do for my day job right now, I make costumes and sell them on the internet.
Oh, that's
so there's a
amazing.
Lot.
That's really cool.
But there's a lot of social media for that. I'm just like constantly making pictures, and you know, I'm doing social media all day, every day normally. And creative writing is something that I wanted to do more of, but hadn't. So, and it's like, and I have a lot of stories. I could probably write those. I could probably do that. So it was just the thing, the creative thing that I could do that would actually be helping the world. So I was like, sign me up.
That's really cool. What a great story. And the beginning part you talked about mirrors so much my own deconversion, as well as what I hear in the support groups quite a bit too. It's hard to say. I mean, it's weird to say that the coming out stories are so different from one another, but also very, very similar. But when you hear enough of them, you can see the common thread. But the pain is real. The struggle and the trauma is real for each individual, mm-hmm. and doesn't diminish mm-hmm. that one bit at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is your position here with the blog?
I manage the blog. I started out as a writer, and the managing it is something that I took over relatively recently, a couple months ago. I'm the person who is managing the people who are managing the blog in a way, but I'm also managing the blog. So my role is not 100% set, because whenever I took it over from Joe, I did some stuff a little bit differently because I knew that I needed to arrange it in a way that it wouldn't be so much work on one person. It needed to be like, you know, more delegation. So it's what I do for the blog is still a little bit of a work in progress. That's why I'm having a hard time with this.
No worries at all. So we're saying blog, tell us about this blog. What is it for? What problem does this blog solve?
All right. So it's called Excommunications, and the tagline, stories from ex-believers, doubters, and those recovering from religion. So it's like basically a little spot on the internet where if you're someone who has left religion and you're just looking to read things, you know, stories from other people who have gone through the same thing. So some of them are actual deconversion stories that people post. And a lot of it is just, there's a lot that's different to going about your day-to-day life, just like raising kids in a secular way. A million topics, you know, celebrating the holidays, you know, that when you're living a secular life, you know, dealing with grief, you know, all everything, you know, a lot of the advice for life that exists out there is specifically designed for people who are religious. And so this is kind of a, and some of it is just like sharing stories and whatnot that wind up being of interest to these people, people like us. and yeah, so, and then, you know, the, there's also this aspect where as you're writing your story, you wind up working through more of the things that happened to you in the past. It's just like, that was what I discovered whenever I joined. It was like, wow, there, I'm still not done deconverting, apparently.
So there's a cathartic facet to this blog too. Now,
very much.
And I thought it was just a collection of people's stories of coming out and their struggles, but I had no idea there was also some great articles on many of the resources that can be found and many of the topics that come up in the support groups or in the helpline. Like there's articles about that on there too. That's incredible. That's really, really cool.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of people like go through stuff. Like there's articles that kind of lean a little bit more towards psychology and like the effects of religion on society. And so there's kind of a lot of topics that we pull into one place, just anything that might be of interest to the ex-religious for the most part.
You're talking about like a really broad umbrella or set of topics that the blog has on it. What kind of things wouldn't we find on the blog? Like what is just not appropriate at all for
that? Yes. So we don't do any articles that are like specifically bashing religion. And this is one of those things that there's kind of a line because like there are people who are deconstructing, deconverting, and they're like sharing the stories from those times. It can involve a lot of pain and a lot of trauma. And like it, you know, we're not going to tell anybody that you can't be angry. You can't sound angry while you're writing, you know, but like if there's an article where the only point is just to be like, you know, religion sucks and it's not like actually offering anything constructive, those we do turn down. And then the other thing that we've had to do is, so on Medium, there's actually a lot of publications that are like progressive Christian publications. There's like an Interfaith Now, there's Backyard Church. So there's just a bunch of stuff like that. And we'll a lot of times get progressive Christians wanting to write for our publication. And when that happens, it'll sound so similar to one of the articles that we write, but then the conclusion is, yes, these people did not translate the Bible correctly, and that is why this happened.
Oh, got it.
So those are some that we wind up needing to turn down just because they have other places where you know they can publish, and we're the only one. We're the only ex-religious publication on Medium. Wow. So.
Oh, so Medium is like a .com website?
Yes. Medium is basically a cross between a blogging platform and social media. So we've hosted the blog there because there's already basically a bunch of writers on there and they find us organically because of the way how Medium works. And we have a goal to eventually also post these articles to our website, but for now, until I believe that's RFR 3.0 is going to be the new website. So for now, we're, you know, staying within Medium because we've got constant exposure, constant new writers coming in and finding us through it. And it's just really easy to use. It's got, the editor is built in, the spell checker is built in, you know, everything that you need to run an online publication is just there.
Yeah. So it's, it sounds like the platform is separate from the RFR website itself. And
yes,
that feels very similar to support groups where we use Meetup to,
Yes.
Have all of the support group meetings there and the various geographical areas. And we, yes. And I think the plan is with RFR 3.0 to bring the support groups together in one place as well. So that's cool. All right. I got it. So is it just, it sounds like there's a couple of volunteers, yourself, and you're kind of managing the volunteers. And I would imagine you guys are editing and gatekeeping.
Yes. Yep. Right now I'm managing the blog and we have a couple of editors in addition to me. I'm also taking over editing duties and we do like a rolling week schedule where one person will just, so our authors, some of them are people who are RFR volunteers. Some of them will actually write articles for us. Some of them are people through who have found us through Medium. And so basically what the editor does is, you know, reads over the articles that come into the publication and then publishes them.
So it sounds like more than just the editors or even RFR volunteers can write articles.
Who
can submit articles to
anyone who has an account on Medium? Another way, so there's actually two ways to submit an article to us. If you have an account on Medium and are already a writer on there, or even if you want to start writing and do multiple articles, it's good to join Medium for this purpose, because then you've got it set up to where you can send it to us. The other way is you can actually just directly contact the RFR blog email. It's blog@recoveringfromreligion.org. And if you send me an article there, I can publish it to our blog from the RFR account on Medium. So that's another way that we publish articles on there.
That's fantastic. Does RFR make any money off of, like, I imagine there's ads and stuff on these things too?
Yes. So the way Medium works is, the proceeds from an article goes to the person who wrote the article. So any article that is published from the RFR account will earn a little bit of money for RFR. And Medium is a platform where you can write on there for free. But if you want to read articles, and RFR has a read for free page, so where any of our clients can, because we didn't want it to be stuck behind a paywall. But like the rest of Medium doesn't have read for free pages. So if you like get to where you really enjoy reading other people's articles on there, then it's like a $5 a month subscription And then the $5 a month subscription is what pays the writers that you're reading.
Okay. So it sounds like this is a little bit of revenue for Recovering Religion itself too.
Yes. Yes, a little bit and growing every month. So
if I were to go and read an article on RFR, those ads that pop up and you know, show me stuff about Peloton or exercise equipment or whatever.
It's actually not ads. It's actually a subscription service. There are no ads on Medium.
My mistake. Oh, thanks for clearing that up. So off of the top of your head, or unless you have it pulled up or something, what are some of the more popular articles or even topics that that people come to and consistently look at?
So we publish such a wide range of stuff that it's hard. What has actually happened is most of our articles are really close to equal in popularity. Whenever there's something that's just like really relatable, it tends to get more reads. So it doesn't actually matter as much the topic as how it's written, whether it's something that, you know, sucks you in and, you know, keeps you, it's more the writing than the topic. But Medium is social media, so there is an algorithm. And if the algorithm picks up an article and decides to feature it on the front page of Medium, suddenly, you know, you'll have
a little spike.
And we had that happen 2 months ago.
Really?
So, yes. Yes, it was. We had one article that got 7,000 views when they're normally getting like, you know, 1 to 200 depending on the article. It just went crazy for a little while. It was like, what is going on? What happens whenever you get an article that goes viral? There'll be a bunch of people that suddenly discover your publication all at once. So we were getting a ton of submissions. I was like having 2 or 3 authors asking to join every day. And we were getting like 1 to 2 submissions of articles every day. And it was like, okay, if this needs keeps up, I'm going to need some new editors. Oh boy. But then it went back to normal after a little while. So,
jeez. And so that is, that sounds like it's a challenge. With the limited number of volunteers that you have and editors that you have, if there are a mass of submissions that come to you, that really kind of bogs down because you guys have to read every single submission that comes through.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
If
it's a good problem to have. It's definitely a good problem to have.
Just need more volunteers to solve that problem. If there's
we are actually looking for volunteers in the blog thing. I've been working behind the scenes on like, you know, how to do like how to documents for all the stuff. And then the next step was going to be to recruit people. So we are at that point right now.
So speaking of volunteering, what has volunteering been like for you?
It has been unexpectedly awesome, I guess, is the best way. Like, so the pandemic, and I think we all experienced it during the pandemic, like you're trapped in your house and suddenly like everything that you used to be working for in life is seeming a lot more silly. And like, you're just like, I spent the whole entire first part of the pandemic listening to nonstop philosophy and what is wrong with the world. And like, I just went on this huge kick to just like try and like better myself a little bit. And then I'm like, yeah, but what are you going to do? Do something.
Got it.
And so it was, I was looking for something to do volunteering. As like I said, I did volunteer activities with my church and then everything else that I mean, I've been doing stuff that's fun and, you know, and, you know, not bad, but like, I haven't done anything that was like, you know, filling the need to do something for other people as much, you know? And so, yeah, it was just, I was really feeling that I was looking for something. So whenever this one popped up, it was like, and I didn't expect it to do what it has done for me. Like, there are so many things that in writing about them, it was like, that still affects me. That still affects me. Or like, you know, you have you go through life and you're completely sane for most of it. And then all of a sudden, you know, just like, oh, that just triggered the crazy person. and I discovered, oh, the things that trigger my crazy person, I'm starting to figure out where they come from. Okie dokie.
That's
and writing through it. Like made this huge difference.
So. Wow.
Well, and then there's also the community. The community we have here is kind of amazing.
Like the other volunteers that you get to meet?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like meeting, well, and like even just, you know, in a weird way, it's similar. It feels similar to what I experienced meeting people at a new church, mm-hmm. but with less fear of it blowing up in my face whenever they decide I'm not good enough for them, if that makes any sense.
Okay. That's great. That's really, really cool. Are there like regular writers who aren't necessarily volunteers
yes.
for RFR and you're yes. getting to know them as well?
Yes, there's a few. There's also, so we have the blog team channel on the Slack that will sometimes, you know, discuss some random things. There's, you know, there's right now I'm one of the editors and we've got 2 more. And then Joe, who stepped down as blog manager, is still in there with us. And, you know, we have random discussions about things occasionally. And, you know, just even like the time that I went to the silly little yearly meeting and just sat in so I could see what was going on. It was like, they're so friendly.
yeah, I've found that too. Like the community is unlike anything I've experienced before. It's really, really uplifting, and I feel encouraged. I don't feel torn down.
Yes. And while we're on the subject of community, there is another little community thing that connects to the blog. There's, if you're in the RFR online community workspace, mm-hmm. there is a channel called Share Your Story. And we created that so that people could post their deconversion stories in there. And then if they want, like, I won't take anything from there unless somebody wants to share it publicly, but if they want to share it publicly, we can actually work it into an article for the blog. So there's that also that we're like talking over some of our deconversion stories in the Slack channel.
So if I am afraid of being if I have to be anonymous, like I'm still stuck in my religious community, but I'm having doubts, or I'm beginning to transition out of religion, is there a way that I could, and I'm not part of the RFR online community, is there a way I can anonymously submit articles to the blog to kind of work through my stuff?
Yes. Yep, that's the blog at recoveringfromreligion.org email address. I receive articles like that all the time, actually. Then they just let me know, you know, it's like if it's a, you know, pseudonym or just say anonymous, you know, any of those work.
So it sounds like you've got a lot of Samuel Clemens writing for you as Mark Twain's.
Oh, yes.
Christina, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me and kind of explain to me more about the blog. I learned a lot, and I can really see the value of what this blog can bring, not only through sharing the stories, like on the very surface, it seems like sharing the stories is really helpful, but the way you described it too, also writing the stories has been very healing for you as well.
Yep.
Well, again, thank you so much for taking the time to sit with down with me.
Thank you.
Recovering from Religion is a nonprofit organization whose mission it is to provide hope, healing, and support to those struggling with issues of doubt and non-belief. Hope, Healing, and Support is waiting for you on our website, recoveringfromreligion.org. There you can speak or chat with a trained agent who will work with you through your struggles and doubts, or to help find resources that may work for you. You can also find local Recovering from Religion support groups in your area for the long-term recovery work. Resources specifically curated for those struggling with doubts, disbelief, and trauma can also be found on the RFR website. To connect with a secular therapist in your area, go to seculartherapy.org and create an account. If you'd like to support the work that RFR does, you can donate or sign up as a volunteer on the Recovering from Religion website. It's also a big help subscribing to the RFR YouTube channel, our blog, or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Questions, comments, and suggestions can be emailed to us at rfrx@recoveringfromreligion.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you'll be with us next time on the Recovering from Religion podcast.